We're now going to hear some of those ancient words read to us as Yvonne brings us our Bible reading for this morning. Thanks, Yvonne.
The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 13. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Yvonne. So we're thinking today about Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, and that passage that Yvonne read to us from Matthew chapter 21. In the first five verses of the reading, Matthew mentions that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and a colt, whilst the other Gospels only mention the colt. And I think Matthew, the Gospel writer, wanted to emphasise to us that the triumphal entry into Jerusalem was the fulfilment of an Old Testament prophecy in the book of Zechariah, which also mentions both a donkey and a colt. You can find it in Zechariah 9, verse 9, which says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so I think this reference to Zechariah's prophecy by Matthew is his way of confirming to us that Jesus is God's promised Messiah, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. And then in verses 6 to 11 of the reading, it becomes obvious that Jesus is declaring himself to be like a king. And he's being recognised as such by the crowds who are cheering him on. The crowd shouts of Hosanna literally mean, "Lord, save us." Now, once before in Jewish history, about 165 years before Jesus, the Jewish nation had waved their palm branches once before as another national hero called Judas Maccabeus rode into Jerusalem. They were celebrating the victory of Judas Maccabeus against their enemies and his restoration of Jewish worship into the temple. And so then, as now, with Jesus entering Jerusalem, the people would sing their songs of praise to the incoming king and probably use the words of Psalm 118, verse 26, which says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus accepted the people's praises, but the people didn't really understand the true nature of Jesus' kingship. And it was because of the crowd's enthusiasm for Jesus that later on the religious leaders began to panic and to plot against Jesus and try to bring him down. But throughout all this confusion, Jesus rides humbly on the donkey, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. But Jesus is not a king like that previous person, Judas Maccabeus, who was a king coming to save the people from physical oppression. Instead, Jesus is a king whose kingdom is not of this world. He is a king who is coming to save his people from sin and death, rather than from Roman occupation. Jesus is not a king who rules by violence or by threat, but Jesus is a king who offers himself in sacrifice to those people who will follow him, to his subjects. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he knew that the time of his death was drawing near, but he also knew that through his death, countless millions of his followers through all generations would be born again to a new life that would last for eternity. So on Palm Sunday, these events obviously created quite a stir amongst the crowds in Jerusalem, and everybody began asking the same question, who is this, which we find in verse 10 of the reading. And moving on to verses 12 and 13, we find that the first thing that Jesus did on his arrival in Jerusalem was to go to the temple and drive out the merchants and the money changers who were buying and selling there, like the one we saw on the video. The stalls of the merchants and the money changers were located in the court of the Gentiles, and the merchants would sell sacrificial animals at extremely high prices, and they could only accept the special temple coinage, which could only be obtained by the from the money changers. So they were onto a good thing. You can only buy my goods if you've got the right currency, in other words, and you can only get the right currency from that chap over there. So the merchants and the money changers were making a very good living, and Passover was the peak time of the year for them. And so the trading within the temple area was actually distracting people from the true meaning of the temple, which was to worship God. And I think this was the main reason why Jesus overturned the tables in the temple. It was to stop people being distracted and realize that they should be there to offer God their worship. God's house was supposed to be a place of prayer, but it had been turned into a marketplace, a den of robbers. And I suppose we need to ask ourselves, is there anything in our lives which is preventing us or interfering with us truly worshipping God? We need to ask God to help us to identify any obstacles that might be in our lives which are preventing us from worshipping him in spirit and in truth. So there's some things we can learn from today's passage, and I'm going to suggest that the four possible things all begin with the letter P. And we've got some slides to put up about this. Four P's for Palm Sunday. And the first P is the word prophecy. We've already been reminded that the entry of Jesus riding on a donkey was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah. And there are many other Old Testament prophecies about the coming of a Messiah. And these prophecies only became true through the life and ministry of Jesus. The words of prophecy from the Old Testament are fulfilled in Jesus. And some of those prophecies became reality on the first Palm Sunday. So our first P for Palm Sunday is the word prophecy. And the second P is the word peace. When Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king, he was not a king like that conquering hero, Judas Maccabeus. Jesus came as a king or prince of peace. We can never find peace in our lives without Jesus being in our lives. Our possessions and our status won't bring us peace. True peace can only be found by trusting in Jesus. Remember these words that he spoke to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So that's John 14, verse 27. So our first P was prophecy. Our second P was peace. Our third P is the word problem, because Palm Sunday presents us with a problem. We have to make a choice about who Jesus is and how we will relate to him. The religious leaders in Jerusalem were placed in this predicament. They could either accept Jesus or they could accept him. But sadly, the religious leaders decided to reject Jesus. And many of the people who had shouted Hosanna when Jesus rode into the city would shortly change their shouts to ones of crucify. the people quickly changed their minds, and their shouts of praise and adulation soon became cries for execution and death. And so today we are faced with a similar decision. Are we for Jesus or are we against him? You perhaps remember the incident in the Old Testament where Joshua challenged the people to choose you this day whom you will serve in Joshua chapter 24. And we used to sing an old song, which some of you might remember, which said, "What will you do with the Saviour who died? What will you do with the one crucified?" Palm Sunday presents us with a problem. And that problem is, who will we choose to follow? Will we accept Jesus and as the Son of God and our Saviour? Or will we change our shouts of Hosanna to ones of crucify and reject him? We need to decide whether we are for him or against him. And our fourth P is the word praise. The people who praised Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem didn't know what lay ahead for him. And so their praise was a bit short-sighted. They could only see the situation immediately in front of them. They didn't know what was going to happen in the next week with the life of Jesus and his death and resurrection. And so their praise was somewhat short-sighted. But today we do have the full story, don't we? We know the full gospel story. We know that after Palm Sunday, Jesus went on to die in our place on Good Friday and to rise again on Easter Day to prove his power over sin and death. And so we have much more reason than the crowds on Palm Sunday to offer God our praise and worship, because we know the end of the story, which they didn't. We have so many more reasons to praise God and to offer him our praise and worship today than the crowds on Palm Sunday did. So there are the four P's I would hope you can remember. Four P's for Palm Sunday. Remember prophecy, the events of Palm Sunday, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Remember peace. On Palm Sunday, Jesus comes to bring us peace, not as an earthly king, but as the Prince of Peace. Remember the problem that Palm Sunday presents us with, whether to accept or reject Jesus. And remember to praise him, and like the crowds on that first Palm Sunday, because we know the full extent of the death and resurrection of Jesus, which they didn't know. So during this Holy Week, let's put Jesus first in our lives and praise his holy name forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read a poem now, if I can find it. Here it is. The video that we watched was actually written by the Reverend Phil Jump, who's Regional Minister of the Northwest Baptist Association. So we thank him for the script, for the drama, and we also thank him for this poem, which I'm going to read to you now. They lined the road, palm branches held high, reciting familiar words from well-known psalms. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were word perfect, well rehearsed, true to every line of the script, playing their part in this human tableau. They acted out their deepest hopes and longings. One day, maybe one day, it would all be for real. There would be a king, God's king, a Messiah, a liberator, a savior, a Messiah, a true son of David, once again enthroned as king of the Jews. But for now, they must content themselves with the annual ritual, acting out the past, hoping for the future, but living in the painful present. Words and actions that said everything, that yet meant nothing. And through this crowd came the man from Nazareth, riding on a donkey. And some with eyes to see could see a king had finally come, God present with his people, to be welcomed and proclaimed. But others with eyes to see saw a usurper who had finally gone too far, a rebel present with his people to be crushed and put down. And those with eyes who could not see waved and cheered the stranger into town, then put down their palm branches, took up their cloaks and went away to learn their lines for the next act of the play. Those lines were, "Crucify, crucify." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we've sung our hosannas today, but help us to remember that you are Lord, suffering, rejection, pain, and humiliation. But also help us to look forward with anticipation to the joy of Easter Day, when we will celebrate your rising from death to reign forever. May this holy week be a special one for each of us as we walk alongside you through your trials and suffering and acknowledge you as the Lord and King of our individual lives. So we ask these prayers and your blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour. Amen.